श्री चैतन्य प्रभु ने चिन्ह श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण गोपाल श्याम खंड राधे गिरि गिरि गोपाल की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय वृंदावन की जय जन तुलसी भक्त देवी की जय राम गोरे वैष्णव वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय ओ प्रेम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नमो विश्वराय कृष्ण सर्वदाय श्रीमरे वासुदेवाय स्वामी चिन्मयने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारने निर्विशेष श्रीवाणी पाष्टाक्षरेशने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु ने चंद श्री वैदिक श्री गौर भक्त
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
प्रणी भूषण पाप ज्ञान पहुंचा
39:65
ಸ್ವಾಸ್ವಾಭೂತ ಪ್ರಶ್ನಂ ಆರತಿ ತೇನಾಶ್ಯ ತಾದೃಶಂ ರಾಜಾ
ತೇನಾಶ್ಯ ತಾದೃಶಂ ರಾಜಾ
ಲಿಂಗಿನೋ ದೇಹ ಸಂಭವಂ
ಲಿಂಗಿನೋ ದೇಹ ಸಂಭವಂ
ಸದಾಚಾನುಭೂತಾ ತ್ರತೋ
ಸದಾಚಾನುಭೂತೋ
ನಾಮನ ಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟಂ ಅರ್ಹತಿ
ನಾಮನ ಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟಂ ಅರ್ಹತಿ Sadatsva, accepted as fact, an anubhuta, not perceived, artha, a thing, never, mana, in the mind, spashtum, to manifest, arhati, is able. Translation, therefore, my dear King, the living entity who has a subtle mental covering develops all kinds of thoughts and images because of his previous body. Take this from me. I am certain
There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally without having perceived it in the previous body. Her part, Krishna Bahir Mukhaya Bhakana Bhola Vanchav, Kare Nikasta Maya Tare Shapatiya Tare. In action, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the Supreme Enjoyer. When the living entity wants to imitate him, he is given a chance to satisfy his false desire to lord it over material nature. That is the beginning of his downfall. As long as he is within the material atmosphere, he has a subtle, beautiful form of the mind which can stockpile all kinds of material desires. Such desires become manifest in different bodily forms. Srila Narada Muni requests the king to accept this fact from him because Narada is an authority. The conclusion is that the mind is the storehouse of our past desires. We have this present body due to our past desires. Similarly, whatever we desire in this present body will be expressed in a future body. Thus, the mind is the source of different kinds of bodies. If the mind is purified by Krishna consciousness, one will naturally in the future get a body that is spiritual and full of Krishna consciousness. Such a body is our original form, as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms, Jiva is served by Krishna and Nitya Das. Every living entity is constitutionally an internal servant of Krishna. If a person is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he is to be considered a liberated soul even in this life. As confirmed by Sri Rupa Goswami, one who engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord in body, mind, and words is to be considered liberated in all conditions of material existence. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We must teach people to absorb themselves always in the service of the Lord because that position is their natural position. One who is always serving the Lord is to be considered always already liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. One who always engages in spiritual activities, unalloyed devotional service, at once transcends the woes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. A devotee is therefore above the three modes of material nature and is even transcendental to the Brahman platform. A Brahman and even affected by the two baser modes, namely Rajaguna and Tamaguna. A pure devotee who is free from all material desires, experienced on the mental platform, and who was also free from empirical, philosophical speculation or fruitive activities, always above. Material conditioning is always liberated. Translation: therefore, my dear king, the living entity who has a subtle mental covering develops all kinds of thoughts and images because of his previous body. Take this from me as certain. There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally without having perceived it in the previous body. So this is a further explanation of the subtle body and how it is very important for the jiva in the material world. So the subtle body goes with the jiva birth after birth, and as explained in this verse, that subtle body produces ideas and thoughts and feelings and emotions and everything. And all of this actually is not isolated. It is related to previous experiences in previous body. That does not mean that we don't have experiences now, certainly we do, and those also stay in the mind, and we have thoughts about those things. But it cannot be disconnected from the past in any case. Everything is there. Therefore, it says here that it's not possible to manifest anything in the mind that was not previously experienced. So anything in your mind obviously has to come from somewhere. So it's an experience of this life or a previous lifetime, one or the other. Of course, later it's explained that it could be a combination of those things, of several experiences into one thing that comes into the mind. So you can conceive of a flower in the sky which actually doesn't exist. So because we have an experience of a flower, we have an experience of the sky, then we say flower in the sky, which is not like, non-existent. So in this way we can combine different experiences and make new experiences in the mind. But nevertheless, we can trace everything back to experience. We perceive things in the world, we get impressions of like or dislike, and those are held within the mind. And then at a certain point in time, they will surface and we will think about those things. So our thoughts are based upon our experiences.
So the in this lifetime is obvious, but it is carried over in from previous lifetime, and it goes into the next lifetime also. And of course, it's not just previous lifetime, but all the previous lifetimes also. There's a continuous flow of experiences which are held within the mind, and these things can give us thoughts at the present time. Normally, however, a lot of that is not available to us. And the predominant thoughts arise from experiences of this lifetime. And even in this lifetime, some of the experiences are lost. We may forget things or whatever after many years, so they know those things don't come in our mind. We just get things from the last 10 years instead of the last 50 years or whatever like that. And generally, the things of this lifetime become more prominent, and especially the important experiences that we have that affect us a lot. Those things arise in our thoughts. But at the same time, we should not think, therefore, that because of this, there's no trace of previous lifetimes in my thoughts. The whole idea here is that, no, there's a connection. So what you're thinking now is related to past lifetimes, even if you don't think of previous lifetimes now. Those thoughts somehow are related to experiences in previous lifetimes. There is a relationship somehow. It may not be direct, but then you can remember, oh, I was so-and-so in previous lifetime and I had this experience. No, I may not understand that. But nevertheless, when we're having thoughts and our ideas and whatever like this, somehow they are connected with previous experiences as well as experiences in this lifetime. So this shows the importance of that subtle body, that it carries things over from one life to another. Impressions are carried over. And we cannot get rid of those impressions once they're there. They're stuck there. And you can't get rid of them. So this creates a big problem for the jiva, because he has an accumulation of all these different experiences which will affect him at the present time. And therefore it makes his decisions now a little more complicated, because he can't just base it rationally on the facts of the moment, circumstances, etc. He's got all of this other stuff to deal with from past lifetimes as well as this lifetime. So that has got a negative factor in one sense, that he cannot think clearly because of all these forces in his mind, of like and dislike from previous experiences. But the positive aspect is that the experiences can be good, and we can learn from past experiences, and therefore we'll understand that this is a proper thing to do, and that is not a proper thing to do because of previous lifetime. So it goes either way. It can be good or bad. If we develop bad habits, of course, those continue to next lifetime, and then next lifetime we have the same bad habits, and we want to have the same desires and the same activities, and do more sinful activity. That can be there also. On the other hand, the positive aspect is we can learn from experiences of past lifetime, and we understand what is the proper conduct. So it's not necessarily bad. It has a good factor also. So, therefore, we cannot condemn the mind and the subtle body at all. So therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually says, the mind goes both ways. It's your friend or your enemy, depending on what you do with it. So the point of this lifetime, the challenge is to control the mind. We have all these past experiences which may influence us now, good or bad. But in any case, we have to attempt to control the mind. This is the privilege of the human being, which the animals cannot do. They have no mental control. We can control the mind. How? Because our intelligence will tell us, this is better than this, or this is not as good as this, or whatever. And we've got some control over the mind, which the animals don't have. So, in this way, we can actually progress very nicely. As Krishna says, you can elevate yourself with the mind rather than degrade yourself. The whole problem is, what is elevation? and people have different ideas of what that is. So elevation just means materialistic enjoyment for most people, which ultimately can be also degrading, depending on how they want to achieve it. So that is why we also have the scripture there to give us guidance on what is the proper standards, what are the proper goals, etc. Combining that and using our intelligence, then we can begin to control the mind. And if we don't do that, then we have an unpredictable future. By controlling the mind, then we can direct ourselves into the future. So next verses talk about, by the present body we can determine what you were in the past and what you are in the future, depending on where you are now. So just as if you're in driving in a car and you take the car in one place, then you can more or less trace out where it was the previous few seconds and the next few seconds. Obviously it's going in a certain direction. So similarly, we can trace out people in previous lifetime by their present condition. And we can also predict their future condition based upon the activities they do now. We can infer what will happen in the next lifetime. And it's all because of this carryover from one life to another through the medium of the subtle body where everything is held. The karmas and the desires. So of course, scripture tries to elevate us, but ultimately it tries to take us out of this condition of repeated birth and death in the material world by ultimately stopping the workings of the subtle body completely and rejecting it completely. That is the case of liberation, where that is stopped. However, it is also difficult to do. So therefore, the recommendation is that we don't simply stop the subtle body from working. Rather, we engage in such a way that it gives most positive results. That is, not simply elevating us in the material world, but we engage the mind and the senses in such a way that we get out of the material world completely. So the process that does that is bhakti. Jnana does not do that. It tries to stop the senses and the mind and the body from acting. So bhakti is the process of engaging the senses and the mind, etc., utilizing them in such a way that they give no bad effects and they don't bind us to the material world, but the activities rather take us out of the material world. So the only activities which are not in bondage are the activities of bhakti. Activities of liberation don't exist, because liberation means no activity. So you can't do activities which are liberated. You bind yourself to the material world, so to speak. So the only activities which are liberated activities beyond reactions to the material world are activities directed for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Those are free of reaction in the material world. They are completely free. So this means that the process of bhakti is the process by which we actually become liberated from the material world, and we destroy the gross material body, the subtle material body, and at the same time we develop a position in the spiritual world with the spiritual body and the spiritual senses. So that is the advantage of bhakti. That enables us to develop that spiritual body with spiritual senses in a relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that is the principle of bhakti as compared to jnana, yoga, and karma, whatever all these things are, secondary processes in the scriptures. So as long as we're in the material world, we have to realize this particular position we're in. It is very easy to forget because of gunas operating, and sometimes tamaguna is very prominent. That means ignorance, that means complete forgetfulness. And even if sattva guna is present, still there is forgetfulness there. we become attached to sattva-guna of the material world, which means the sattva-guna body and the sattva-guna existence in the material world. So again, we forget, we tend to forget that we are atma. But of the three gunas, sattva is more favorable because it also allows for understanding that we're not the material body. This is a more favorable position. But still, it's not the highest position. It's still in the gunas. So karma yoga operates within the gunas. Jnana tries to get us out of the gunas, but it is a difficult process because it attempts to stop everything. So the recommended process here is the process of bhakti. So that is what Narada Muni is actually ultimately recommending to the king. Now he is stuck in karma. So he is told him about not the body or the atma. And here he's telling him how he is forced to take birth after birth because of subtle body and all the attachments in the subtle body. And so that was illustrated by the fact that in one lifetime he was attached to his enjoyment in that body and he was attached to the queen. Next body, he became a woman. Because of that, he was born in that body and then he developed attachments in that life as well. But fortunately, in the next lifetime, the king also, he was a queen in that lifetime, and took to devotional service, bhakti, and got the instructions of Paramatma. So that illustrates the fact that the hope in the material world is that a person will eventually get instructions from a devotee and begin the practice of bhakti. Otherwise, material life, there's no solution to this ever-ending, non-ending, unending rebirth of the material world with desires. It will continue forever.
Now the question is, what can depression accomplish? Can you say that this kind of rejection of Jnana?
What is that?
What can depression accomplish? So can you say that it is a kind of rejection of Jnana Yoga? Because ultimately everything is very difficult.
Yeah. And of course the state of impersonal liberation in which there is no action, there's no activities.
Maharaj, that we use the subtle bodies in activities which end up liberating one. Can you compare it with a child which is not able to walk but is given certain equipment with which it tries and starts walking after some time? So actually the subtle bodies, the activities the soul should do is not able to do, so that's why it uses subtle body to do those activities or to try to develop the soul.
Obviously we see that the gross and subtle bodies are useful in the material world for the jiva, but then at a certain point they become not useful and therefore they're given up and one goes to the spiritual world without a material body, gross or subtle. So yes, they're useful in the material world up to a certain point. So then they must be given up once their purpose is finished.
Maharaj, when activities are done in the material activities, usually it is in relationship with other jivas.
Mm-hmm.
And so for example, some reaction has to come. Will it come from the same jiva, for example, in this or another birth?
Not necessarily, no. Otherwise that would mean that the jivas just go back and forth. Reversing their own lives that forever, and that would be useless. No, not necessarily. That is just illustrated there, like the cow and the killer or whatever, mamsa. But this is an illustration, but it's not a literal. You cannot take that literally, obviously. Because you don't just have one activity in one lifetime. You got so many activities you're doing, not just with the cow. There's so many activities with so many other living entities. So you can't take all the births simultaneously. Yeah, well that's the idea. It's just an illustration, but not necessarily so. It's always the same animal. How many animals you kill? And then, you know, know, you can't take birth as all the animals simultaneously.
So what is the connection between the memory, the mind, and the brain? They say, the scientists say that there is a portion of the brain holding our memories specifically.
Yeah, well, just like the senses have a gross aspect and they have a subtle aspect. The senses go with you when you die, but nevertheless the senses here also. So there's two aspects. So we can say the brain also and the mind are related, but not exactly the same. So as long as we're in this life, obviously the mind is quite intimately connected with the brain. But then we also do see that some people are brain dead and have experiences, so what's happening there? So that must mean the subtle mind is operating at that point. Well, we're not just at death. The mind is operating now even. So things are stored there. So it's not just at death that things get stored there. In other words, now if you don't have a subtle body, you can't operate this with a brain. You need the subtle body also. So the subtle body is functioning now as well as that's what's happening in dreams. So that body is operating in dreams independently, more or less. Not completely independently, but quite independently. Therefore the two are cooperating together even when we're living. So it's not just the brain operating now. Well, that is why some scientists say that no, the mind is not in the brain. Some brain surgeon concluded that it was actually not in the brain, actually, but the mind. It was separate because of his experiences in terms of operations, brain operations.
Well, we say the mind carries over the experiences of the previous life also. So if the memory is also going to store simultaneously some impressions of memories of this present lifetime. So at the point of death, is something like the memories in the brain transferred to the mind goes forward from that?
Yeah, well, we can say even before death they're transferred. And they're automatically there in as you experience this thing now in the material world, they're also there. Not just at death, but even now.
Maharaj, I heard a statement or general pattern that his skill in the warfare is not based on this birth. He said that I have accumulated experience over several previous births of conducting warfare, so that's why he was so successful. In terms of continuity over a number of births.
Sure. He believed in reincarnation.
Thank you.